In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. James was a fisherman, along with his brother, John. They were partners with Peter and Andrew. It is they who St. Peter called over with the great catch of fish when their boat began to sink. So James also left everything and followed Christ. But along with his brother, he wants a position of honor, prestige, glory, power, and influence. He thinks he can make a difference in Jesus' kingdom. But chiefly, he wants something for himself. He does not understand the glory of God. God's glory is not found chiefly in his return to judge, but in a cross. And so our Lord holds the cross before James. Do you want power, honor, riches, prestige, or glory? Then you must drink the cup which Christ drank and be baptized with the baptism with which he was baptized. The cup is the cross, and his baptism is his death. The eternal God prayed to the Father to take the cup away, but there was no other way. God's will was the redemption of mankind through his Son's sacrifice. There he reveals God's glory as he dies for his enemies, redeems those who hate him, and saves those who kill him. His glory is his love, a sacrificial love that gives his back to the scourge, his brow to the thorns, his hands to the nails, his face to the spittle, and his body to the cross. He empties himself because he loves you. He gives all that he has to prepare a place in heaven for you. I thirst, he cried. He drank the cup. Nothing was left. It is finished. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The baptism is his death. To be baptized means to be washed with water. He calls it a baptism because no one stays in a bath forever. He may submerge, but he always comes back out. So Christ's death was not permanent. He died and was submerged in the tomb, hidden in the ground. But on that third day, he came back out. The glory of the resurrection is the glory of the cross. And so the marks are still in his hands and feet and side. The crucified one lives. The love of God is eternal, which means forgiveness is eternal. Your salvation, redemption, and place in heaven is eternal. James and John do not understand any of this. They think they can drink the cup and be baptized as Christ was baptized. And Christ says that they will. That is, they will pick up their cross and follow Christ to death. But it happens in different ways, for God gives different things to each of his people. For St. James, that meant a martyr's death roughly 10 years later. He's the first apostle to die, the only one recorded in the scriptures to have died. Whereas his brother, John, tradition holds he was the last apostle to die and the only one not to be martyred. And so their glory is found in the cross that the Lord had given to them. And their honor is found in the Christian death, in whatever way it came. So it is for you. You are not to try to emulate or copy or follow the same life as St. John or as St. James. But you are to pick up the cross that the Lord has given to you and follow Christ willingly. And so your life is a life of service. James wanted something for himself. Jesus teaches sacrifice. You are not like the Gentiles who do not know God. They want power and glory. They want respect and influence. They're willing to flex their muscles to get what they want. They do not serve, but they want to be served. They'd rather sit at a table than wait on tables. They do not understand the love or glory of God. Do you see how the ways of the world are completely contradictory to the ways of God? You are of God. You were washed and cleansed, redeemed and fed. God is in you, and you are in God, a sacrificial God who gives all that he has. He lives through you to love and to serve. And so you are not power hungry, You are not concerned about yourself and what you need. Neither are you concerned what will happen to you if you give up all that you've worked hard for to love. Life is no longer about you and what you want, but about those around you. You live for them, sacrificing all that you have for them and for their good. You see, we're all ready to die for Christ, but we must also be ready to live for him. The cross that you carry is your vocation. Why has God made you a father or a mother? Because those children need godly parents. Why has he made you a wife? Because that man needs a helper fit for him. Why has God made you a husband? Because she needs your love, your gifts, your all. Why has he given you work? Because others need your service, your knowledge, your abilities. We do not work for ourselves, but we are slaves of all, servants of all. Our will is tied to theirs, whether they pay us or not, say thank you or not. This is not flashy, popular, or honorable before the world. No one will give you a red carpet experience, a gold medal, or invite you to the White House. If you can throw a football, sure, but not if you can settle down your little ones. So your cross is not exciting. It's heavy. It's unappreciated. We recognize that. And so we long for the weekend, or for the kids to get back to school, or for a vacation, because it's hard to sacrifice, it's hard to love, it's hard to give, it's hard to fulfill our vocation. But the Lord has called us to this, and we are to remain faithful. God's kingdom prizes not the rich, but the servant, not the powerful, but the slave. And so we pick up our cross and follow Christ willingly. He doesn't need your love, but your neighbors do. You get nothing but sleepless nights, backaches and stress. You are weary and worn out. You give meals and hugs, clothes and kind words, and few say thank you, yet you do not stop. You give all that you have until you have emptied yourself of all that you are, so that they may have life. Are you able to drink this cup? No one will write a story about you. No one will make a movie about your life. In fact, few will remember us. We're just not that important. We haven't done memorable things. And we probably will not die in a Colosseum or giving a great confession of our faith or a witty one-liner. But most likely we will die quietly with only a handful of people around us, if that. Are you able to be baptized with that baptism? Yes, you are. Because where God gives a cross, he also gives the strength to carry it. You are baptized into him who emptied himself for you. You drink not the cup of wrath, but the cup of his holy blood as he pours himself into you so that you might do the same for others. It is not you who live, but Christ lives in you. The life you live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for you. The cross was Christ's glory, and your boring, mundane lives are your glory. What have you given up? You have not lost, but treasures are stored up in heaven. You think you've emptied yourself, but Christ fills you tenfold. So nothing can separate you from him. Not the big troubles of life, cancer, pandemics, persecution, or death, but not even the boring, mundane things of life, preparing meals, cleaning the house, taking care of the yard, raising kids, or conversing with your spouse. In all these things, you are more than conquerors through him who loved you. You live for him who lived for you, and you die for him who died for you. So whether you live or you die, you are the Lord's. His cross has claimed you, his baptism has saved you, and he will strengthen and preserve you, body and soul, unto life everlasting. But until that day comes, you carry a cross to the glory of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.